morning, my friends. Mary's song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, church family. So this morning, we find ourselves in Luke's Gospel, looking at what is titled in most Bibles as Mary's Song. Now, Luke was a physician and probably the first historian of the early church, and his Gospel documents the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life and his ministry. Luke also tells us of specific instances that are not recorded in any other gospel. And this morning's reading is one of those instances. This account of Mary was almost likely a first-hand account told to Luke by Mary herself many years later. And perhaps it is the song that was with her throughout her life. Mary's song is often called the Magnificat, and it's often used for the basis of hymns and musical lyrics. However, being only recorded in Luke's Gospel, this gives us a first-hand account into Mary's state of mind at the time of finding out that she was pregnant. However, before we dive in, I think we should pray. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for your word, your living word. We give you thanks that we are a church here at Christ Church St. Andrews that love to learn, study, and dive into your word. We ask that you would speak to us this morning as we look at these prayers and praises of this young woman, Mary. And we pray, Father, that we would leave this place differently than when we arrived. Amen. 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 So, Mary's story starts hundreds of years before she was born. It starts in a prophecy from the Old Testament book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and it reads, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we'll call him Emmanuel." The reading this morning starts in verse 46, but let's take a quick look back at the story so far. So Mary was a young girl. Though it was the custom at the time for girls to be married as young as 12 years old, most commentators have suggested that Mary was most likely about 14 years old. She lived in Nazareth, a small town in Galilee. Of about 100, 150 people lived there at the time. She was engaged to a carpenter called Joseph, and she was probably busy planning her wedding when the angel Gabriel came to her and tells her that she's chosen and favoured by God, and that she will be the mother of Emmanuel, God with us, thus fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy. The angel Gabriel tells her that she's going to be a miracle. It was going to be a miracle enabled by the Holy Spirit. The angel also told Mary that Elizabeth, a relative of Mary's, was also being blessed and was with child, because nothing is impossible with God. This is not the first time that God has made an announcement of a child to be born. The glorious news of new birth and new life was met with various responses throughout Scripture. Sarah, Abraham's wife, laughed when she was told she was going to have a baby, and Zechariah doubted and argued. So on hearing this amazing news and the blessing of God, Mary packs her bags and makes a 100-kilometre hike through the wilderness to a town in the hillside country of Judea to visit Elizabeth and Zechariah. And she spends about 2 or 3 months with them. So Mary, a young teenage woman who has much to worry about. Much to worry about. She's unmarried. She's pregnant. What she would have been thinking would be, would Joseph marry her still and maybe then divorce her? She lives in a small town and there would be much gossiping. When people find out she's pregnant, will she be labelled a whore? Will her family reject her? She obviously was only 14 years old. And to top it all, if that wasn't enough, she was going to be the mother of God. Mary had much to worry about. Much to worry about. Luke documents Mary's song and starts in verse 46. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. That's not really how we would expect a young unmarried teenage woman to start her song. Maybe it would have been easier to start the song with, help me God, the dress just isn't going to fit. My boyfriend's freaking out. How am I going to explain this to my grandmother? What would it be like having a baby in a synagogue with no husband? My life and my baby's life will be in danger. Will Joseph marry me? Help me. My family are going to reject me, and I'm not going to be safe. That would have been the case, as Mary had much to worry about. Much to worry about. Maybe too, you have much to worry about today, this morning. Perhaps those of you who are naturally good at worrying. Worrying is your spiritual gift. You worry, and you worry really well. Perhaps this morning you have come to church worrying and with a worry in the back of your mind. Your health, your financial situation, your future, your children's future, or maybe your security in general. You too could join in with Mary with much to worry about. However, that appears not to be the case. Rather than worrying, Mary turns her worries into worship. Mary uses language of adoration and praise. How easy would it be to say, God is good, when things are going well? How easy is it when things are going badly to say, God has rejected me, God is not with me? But we see Mary submitting and believing the angel's word, and rejoicing, knowing that God favoured her, chose her, and was with her. God was interested in Mary. No one else was paying attention to Mary, but God was. This unschooled 14-year-old girl. Her song is saturated with Old Testament scripture as Mary was paying attention to God, listening to God's word in the synagogue. She quotes from Psalms, from Old Testament scripture. We also see comparisons with Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel, along with 15 other Old Testament quotes Mary uses to show that she is paying attention. She is paying attention to Scripture and knows God. God is paying attention to Mary. But why would anyone else pay attention to Mary? She's single, she wasn't married, she lived in Nazareth, not Jerusalem. She was young, she wasn't old, she was poor and wasn't rich. However, Mary says, God knows me, God loves me, he's paying attention to my life. With an understanding that God is working in and through her, she turns her worries into great worship. Verses 46 and 47, we see adoration. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. Mary adores God for who he is. She declares the greatness of God and glorifies. The way in which she starts her song starts very calm. And in verse 47, she says, my Saviour, demonstrating the quality of her personal relationship. She recognises her need for a Saviour. Her soul and spirit are glorifying and rejoicing. Verses 48 and 49. For he has been mindful of his humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. This sounds a little bit prophetic, actually. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. However, I suspect that Mary's life would have been difficult and far from being blessed. She would have had to deal with many issues after Jesus' birth. Gossip, ridicule, slander. It wouldn't have just stopped after the birth of Jesus. Everyone wouldn't have stopped. They wouldn't have known that Jesus was the Son of God, as Jesus didn't start his ministry for another 30 years. She would have had difficult times, probably all the time. But she continues to worship. And this is the message that was told to Luke. She continues to worship. In verse 49, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary worships God for what he's done. And she lists seven he has verses with this beautiful language as she is blown away by the great things that God has done. Starting at verse 51, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud of their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. Mary has so much to worry about, but she turns her worrying into worship. What are you worried about this morning? Have you tried turning your worries into worshipping. Now you may say, that's all very well, Darren, but sometimes I don't feel like worshipping. Sometimes that is true. But you know, sometimes you have to worship yourself into worshipping. And that could mean putting your headphones on and listening to some Christian music. Maybe turning the radio off in the car. Maybe putting a CD on, or a cassette if your car's that old, as you're going down the motorway, worshipping. Or sometimes sitting quietly, maybe listening to a hymn, or listening to Premier Christian Radio. Other radio stations are available. Maybe instead of listening to Radio 2. Worshipping yourself into worship. Do you know, sometimes it's the hardest thing to do, especially at work, if you're troubled and worrying, to ask everyone to stop working. I'd like to worship for a bit, please, if you don't mind. I'm worried about something. So please, can we have a rounding rendition of Blessed Be the Name of the Lord? Do you know, that's not going to happen. However, sometimes it's the best medicine and the best thing to focus on, to focus on God. And that's what we see Mary doing here, focusing on the God of the universe. Mary says, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." We see that she knows God and knows what he's done. So Mary has lots to worry about, and she turns to worship and praise. We have seen this morning the account of a young teenager loving God and trusting that she has been chosen. In Mark Lowry's song, Mary, Did You Know?, he writes this beautiful line, "This child that you soon to deliver will soon deliver you." Throughout Mary's life, having known who Jesus was, watching, waiting, and worshipping. If you're a Christian here this morning, you too join with Mary, knowing that Jesus is your Saviour. He will soon deliver you, that your sins are forgiven, and that your eternity is secure. If you're here this morning not sure, then please speak to Simon or Anthony or myself about finding out more about Christianity Explained and the courses that we run. And this Christmas, turn to Jesus, trusting his plans for your life, just as Mary did. As we close, we've seen this morning the things that Mary had to worry about and how knowing God made all the difference. We've seen that being able to worship and trust God made all the difference throughout Mary's life. So as we stand together as a church and church family and proclaim with Mary, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your grace and mercy. Thank you for these amazing words of adoration and praise spoken to by Mary. As we move into 2024, encourage us to speak these words of faith about our love for Jesus, and let your love shine in this town. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a great song, Waiting Here For You, which has the song of adoration and praise in these lines are just amazing. You're the Lord of all creation, and still you know my heart. You are everything you've praised. Your faithfulness is true. And the line, with our hands lifted high in praise. So let's stand together and worship. And this morning you have permission on the line, with our hands lifted high in praise, to lift your hands high in praise. Thank you, Denise.